cliffcentral.com.
All right. I like it. Carl says, I'm hilarious and I look like a hobbit. My wife is hot. Proves your theory. Yeah, if you're hilarious, that's how you got her. Well done to you. Jonathan Witt, who's coming in to talk to us next, says to me, Patrick Schwarzenegger's girlfriend is not too shabby. Didn't he date Taylor Swift for a little bit? I mean, she dated everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm sure she had him at some point.
Taylor Swift and actually Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, that's right.
I was actually thinking of Miley.
Patrick, I'm proud of you. Greg says, funny can get you any girl. Ask Eddie Murphy. He's been slaying. That's true.
He has like 500 children with different women.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What else we got here? Let's see. Vian says, with a beautiful picture, it is a gorgeous day in Hermanus. Well, is it ever shitty in Hermanus? Let's be honest. Huh? Then a lot of people saying, the week is always it's worst thing to start, you know, Monday morning with anything but a lack of enthusiasm. People who are too enthusiastic in a Monday morning drive people crazy. Chris says, I'm always impressed with Gareth Schwarzenegger. Oh, thanks. But that was the real Arnold. And there are apparently videos going around of Patrick Schwarzenegger doing a pill.
Oh, at Coachella.
Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, lots of things going on. Lots to talk about. But before we get into any of that, Mubs has got some actual news. Please, my buddy. I mean, let's have some real news, you know?
Well, if you need another reminder of why you should be glad that you live in South Africa, two earthquakes struck in Ecuador and in Japan over the weekend, and both of them caused some serious destruction, just damage all over the place. So let's look at the first one that struck in Ecuador. It struck at about 2 minutes before midnight on Saturday, about 170 kilometers northwest of Quito.
I heard about this, but I thought it was maybe a joke.
No, this quake lasted for about a minute, but 77 people already reported dead. Can you imagine the destruction that happens over a 60-second period that immediately kills 77 people? I mean, that is insane.
Listen, these things are pretty terrifying, these earthquakes. They can have massive effects. Apparently, if you're talking about the same one I'm talking about that I read this article last night,
yeah.
Apparently, the seismograph is still ticking away in America now. And you've got parts of the western seaboard of the United States and even sort of up near the Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah.
Where you've got very unstable tectonics. And if you have a rumbling that comes all the way from Quito in
Ecuador
and it's still, you're having aftershocks a day later, that's not good.
No, it's definitely not good. So Ecuador lies near a shifting boundary between tectonic plates, right? Which I suppose puts it in a very vulnerable position. It registered 7.8 on the Richter scale, but I mean, it was felt across Ecuador, northern Peru, and then southern Colombia as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the effects went as far as the United States as well, you know, the Americas.
Jesus.
The Vice President, Jorge Glass, said that the death toll will likely rise further because, you know, as you can imagine, people are trapped underneath the rubble. Rescue operations are still underway. As it stands, 77 people dead. Over 588 people were injured. But it is likely that this death toll is going to rise.
Wow. There's nothing we can do about this. Earthquakes are going to strike. You know, we live on a rapidly cooling planet. Thin little crust. Got this heat from the inside. You got this unstable atmosphere that really, I mean, it's a miracle we're even here. It's just unbelievably small, the chance of any of this happening.
a state of emergency was declared in the 6 worst hit provinces. The president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, he was on a visit to the Vatican when this happened, and then he went on to Twitter to say that he was immediately going back home. Because it just, you know.
I mean, you know what I mean when I say we're so lucky to be here?
Completely. I know what you mean.
It's bizarre, right? Because we think we have a right to be here. Like, we're all upset when there's an earthquake. We're like, oh, this is making it unpleasant.
Meanwhile. You know,
why'd it have to be like that, Earth? Meanwhile, the Earth doesn't care that we're here or not. In fact, the Earth hates us because of what we're doing to it.
Exactly.
Everything that's grown naturally, we're destroying. It's just very, very strange. Look, I don't wish earthquakes on anyone. But you don't have a... If you live... It's like these people who live in these places where there are volcanoes. There's this island of Montserrat, right? Always getting into shit. This island is... There's pyroclastic flows coming down the mountain. There's sparks and fire and fury and flame and steam. And it's just a very unpleasant place to live. But people keep building their houses on the slopes of this volcano. And then when the volcano explodes and the lava comes rushing down, what do? They go, oh, please help us. Don't build your house on the slopes of a volcano, honey. I don't think I'm being unreasonable, huh?
No, I don't think so.
But there's just so much that we're at risk of, though. I mean, there are earthquakes, there are tsunamis, there are tornadoes, luckily, we don't really experience any of that stuff on this side of the world, which is, again, you know, consider ourselves lucky.
I want America to take note. And Just Me says on WeChat this morning, this is a very good thing. What is scary, all our cloud data is properly stored in Silicon Valley. And if the earthquake hits there, we've got problems. I want them to back this stuff up in a place where there aren't earthquakes. I don't know if Antarctica gets earthquakes or not. I would imagine not. Not so many earthquakes in Antarctica. Let's set up a little data center there or something.
Or how about just Uppington?
Nothing happens in Uppington.
Let's put the world's cloud in Uppington.
Yeah.
Base it all there.
Give Uppington a use.
I mean, in that movie... The one where basically the whole world falls apart. Didn't the rest of them all come to...
The Drakensberg.
The Drakensberg.
The Day After Tomorrow, I think it's called.
Yes.
Life shall now commence in the Drakensberg. Everyone's like, yeah, what?
Hey.
Okay, so then should we look at this one that happened in Japan? This was a 7.3 magnitude tremor, which struck early on Saturday morning. At least 32 people killed. It was the second major quake to hit Kumamoto province on the island of Kyushu in just over 24 hours. The first quake hit on Thursday, killing 9 people.
Yep.
But between Thursday and now we're on Monday, so that's a 5-day period. So over the last 5 days, Gareth, more than 440 tremors have rocked the area.
What the fuck was that?
440 tremors over a 5-day period. I mean, I can't even imagine what that must feel like.
It's horrible. Listen, Japan.
You basically think that you're going to die any minute. Over the last 5 days, you worried, am I going to die? Is this it?
Right. I think about Japan. They've got to deal with that nuclear fallout from Fukushima. They got tsunami. They got tsunami. They got earthquake. They got Fukushima. We dropped 2 bombs on them. It's horrible. Poor Japan. I feel like we really, if any nation deserves a break, it's Japan. And their currency isn't performing very well today. I mean, come on. Trinse says she hates it when we take a break when we're talking. It makes her think that the feed has stopped again. Well, Trinse, we can't change the way we speak. So I'm sorry. Yes, what's your question, Flax?
Gareth, so in a round world, what is the... What is the center point
as
of this earth? Like, is it molten? Is it hard rock?
This is the first time you've asked this question?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't do geography, ne?
No.
Okay, well, let me help you with a little bit of rudimentary knowledge
I've
got.
I'm talking the core, the center point.
The core of the earth is probably solid iron.
Iron?
Mostly iron, yeah. There'll be other stuff in there, but it's mostly iron. And then around that is what we call the mantle.
Mm.
And by the way, the core, it's like Did you ever play with marbles?
Yeah.
Okay, you know those big iron ones that you get?
Yeah.
That's probably what, if that was the, if that was the center of the earth, and let's say it's as big as if you take your thumb and your forefinger and you put them together and you make a little circle, then the mantle would be about the same as your middle finger is there if you took it all the way around that core. Got it?
Yeah.
That's the mantle. That's part molten, part solid, depending on where in the mantle you are. The closer you get to the core, the more solid it gets. The closer you get to the crust, the more liquid it gets. Got it?
Yeah.
Then there's the little layer of crust, and that floats on the mantle.
Floats?
Sort of. I mean, it's molten rock under there. That's what lava is, the mantle.
Hmm?
And when the mantle breaks out into the crust, through fissures and cracks and volcanoes and everything else, that's what comes out. So lava is actually the content of the mantle of the earth.
So what is the deepest we've ever gotten to?
Well, the deepest place on earth is the Marianas Trench in near the Philippines. In the Pacific Ocean. That's the deepest point of the crust.
Okay, but so that hits the crust.
You could still drill down for a long way before you'd get to the mantle. So that shows you that when you have volcanoes and things like that, that goes right down.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously, the crust itself isn't completely stable, which is why you have mountain ranges and things that have formed. You know, for example, when India has gradually, over millions of years, moved through the what is now the Indian Ocean and smashed into Asia and started pushing, that's where you get the Himalayas.
Which layer are the tectonic plates found?
Crust.
Mm-hmm.
The tectonic plates is basically the earth trying to balance the landmass and the water.
The liquids you were just talking about, the lava?
No. That's underneath.
Oh, okay.
The crust consists of the land masses, the continents, and the oceans.
Oh, okay.
Right? And on top of all of that, you have these trying to compete so that the sphere is balanced. It all started off with one big continent once called Pangaea.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that about the tectonic plates, trying to balance the sea pressure.
Not the sea pressure.
More like the weight of the sea versus the weight of the land.
Well, think about it. If you have anything round, because it's spinning.
Yeah.
Is going to try and find, what's the word? Entropy. Everything in nature is trying to find balance. Everything is trying to find a point of the lowest energy, where it has to expend the least amount of energy. And that goes for geography too. You're trying to balance everything out so that you've got equal weight distribution.
Yeah.
Wherever it is. Now, if you have a big, heavy continent of Asia in one part, and you have an ocean in another part, and they're not balanced, you need to kind of try and figure a way out of that. So there's always going to be what they call continental drift.
So millions of years from now, Earth won't look like what it does now.
It will not look like it does now.
The continents will have shifted and moved to other areas.
Yeah. But it takes such a long time. It's imperceptible. Yeah. They say, for example, that, you know, if you measure how Australia is moving as a continent, it moves, I think it's like a meter every 20,000 years or something. So it's very gradual. But there we go. I mean, there's your amateur geography lesson, and I'd love someone to correct me where I've gone wrong.
Well, people will probably know more about that, Gareth, the Natural Environment Research Council.
They sound important.
Well, of course they do. They're so important, they've got a 200 million pound boat. Remember this boat was meant to be named?
Oh, what did they decide? What were the options?
Well, voting is done. There is a winner. There was various
Wasn't
options.
Wasn't it Boaty
like,
McBoat Boat?
Like Sir Richard Attenborough, all its things. Yeah. But yes, Boaty McBoat Face. Top of the pops. All the votes come in. Nearly 9.
People can't be trusted. Democracy is a disaster.
124,109 votes for Boaty McBoatface. While second place, Poppy Mai, only received 34,371.
So now, do they have to stick to this name now? They can't back out.
Well, see, this is where it's coming a bit sticky. So the NERC are saying, thank you for all the amazing votes and the overwhelming support.
You Kashmir, we will now
review all the suggested names, and the final decision will be announced in due course.
In other words, we don't like your votes.
If they don't name it Boaty McBoatface, there's going to be such an outrage. It really will be.
But
there was a lot of other names put forward for this thing. It's Bloody Cold Here was not another one. Just David Attenborough, Usain Boat, Boatumus Prime, and Boat Marley and the Whalers. Boaty McBoatface winning
that's
with
the winner.
More than 90,000 votes to second place.
You know what? I wish when I was younger I was more like Flex. He asks questions and he doesn't mind whether you're supposed to know the answer or not. He wants to know, right?
Yeah.
I used to always be worried about asking a dumb question.
Yeah, that's most of us.
And that's so stupid. That's the dumbest thing you can do, is not ask a dumb question.
But what is a dumb question? That's another thing.
Well, for example, if you've just landed at the airport and someone says, "Where are you?" That's a dumb question. Okay. I'm at the airport. So there are some dumb questions. But I just like the fact that he asks things and he's curious about stuff. And how are you going to get better if you don't ask questions? Which brings me to the two lunatics who we've given a show to here. This podcast is flying off the shelf. It's like cookies from the Girl Scouts. Everybody's buying them. How do you like that comparison? Cookies from the Girl Scouts, Jonathan Witt.
Well, I'm for capitalism, so that's fine.
All right, Dr. Jonathan Witt and and we love doing that to your name. And the more we can screw up your name, the better.
Yeah, it appears so.
Let me switch on your microphone. There we go.
Right.
All right, you two. So, listen, before we even get going, let's give everybody a snapshot of what the Renegade Report is. You may have already met Dr. Jonathan Witt. He used to host the Health Hour until he became so successful in his private practice that he now has no time. So he's got to come in and pre-record a podcast. And he doesn't even want to talk about medicine.
Nah, boring.
It's not boring. I think it's not boring. I think you just are tired of talking about medicine when you practice it 24/7.
Yeah, it's too factual, Gareth. You know, you get it's not too factual because the Renegade Report's quite factual as well, but it's too scientific, and so there's no opinion really in medicine. I have this problem.
That's what we want, though.
Yeah, so you want it to be completely sort of pedagogic, and it tells you exactly, I have a problem. This is how you fix the problem. This is how you approach it, and carry on with life. The Health Hour is an important show, and those types of shows and medicine in general is important, obviously, and of interest to people. But at the end of the day, it doesn't allow any expression who I am and what I believe. And so the Renegade Report really does that. And, you know, Ramon has...
You just call him Ramon. You just get on with it.
Well, I call him Ramon, and sometimes I screw it up and call him Roman. But that's because it's spelt stupidly.
Yeah, you see, you're French. This is the problem with you French, is that you insist on everything. In fact, the French even insisted once that it was the diplomatic language, and everybody's passports had to be in English and French. Do you remember? Mm. I think they still are.
And stamps.
Still says in my passport, au nom du président de République de Afrique du Sud. It says all of this stuff because of your people, the French, who, by the way, since you're such a man of reason, okay?
Supposedly.
The Enlightenment will give you credit for some of that in France. But you guys also had really messy, sloppy, bloody revolutions.
Yeah, by the damn proletariat.
Yes, the proletariat's a problem. But you've also had really shitty presidents. You've had terrible coups d'etat. You've had civil unrest. And the French are constantly smoking and complaining. Even you have this vape pen with you the whole time. I know, constantly smoking.
You sound like a Dubai strip club next to me.
I haven't even vaped once in the studio today.
But you have this aura of vaping. What is it anyway?
All right. Yeah, tell us about the vape pen, because now we talked about Dr. Jonathan Witt not being the medical doctor on the show. Tell us about this thing.
So vaping, all it is a battery, an atomizer, liquid that you buy off the shelf with different strengths of nicotine, and then all you do is you vape. It's like smoking a cigarette.
Did you smoke cigarettes before?
I did.
Okay, and you gave that up for this?
I did.
Okay, it was a good move?
Well, this is tastier. but far more expensive.
And it doesn't smell as bad, right?
Well, it doesn't smell at all.
Yeah.
Well, it smells sweet. Depends on the flavor.
You could, there are flavors and you can smell someone's been smoking, but it's not an unpleasant thing for other people.
No. Well, but, not that I know of.
But now I'm going to ask your colleague on the Renegade Report. We still don't know. The jury's out on these things, right?
Yeah, look, it's probably, if you're just going to vape versus smoke, it's probably healthier to vape.
Mm-hmm.
We'd prefer you didn't do either, but
sure,
hell, you know, people
can't
do,
tell someone
people
like
do
him.
Dodgy shit. Yeah. So I think the biggest debate around the sort of e-cigarettes is that people try to use them to quit. So Ramon has mm-hmm. worked, but often it doesn't work, and then they go back to cigarettes, which is why the cigarette companies, tobacco companies, have invested so much money in e-cigarettes. They own all the companies, basically.
No, they do, but that's captain for you. It's an evolution of the market, so they'll be the first to be plugged in.
All right, before we get into your opinions on things, because you two have a lot of those, there's no shortage of those at all. There are a couple of things that we need to sort out and put on the table immediately. You probably had no idea each other existed until Twitter came along.
True.
You two found yourselves often on the same side of an argument.
Usually.
Mostly.
You disagree a lot too, which is the sign of intelligent
well,
people.
Ramon's an anarchist, so.
Right.
So I'm right on most things.
But I don't want to get to your opinions yet. I want to find out a little bit about you.
Right.
I don't know you as well as I know Dr. Witt. I was the presiding officer at his wedding, believe it or not.
Mm.
You totally... No, listen to this. He painted me into a corner. He told me, Ben...
And then we shocked the entire community.
Listen to this. He's Jewish. His wife is Catholic.
No. Don't go that far. Come on.
Christian.
Yeah. Anglican.
Anglican Christian. How are you going to sort this problem out? He calls me up, says to me, come, won't you do my wedding? So I said, sure, I'll do your wedding. I mean, I'm MC, you know, he's a friend. So I said, I'll MC, thinking I'll go to the reception and I'll MC the reception. That's what I've been asked to do before. I've done it before. I know what I'm doing. No problem. I arrive there on the day. On the day, he tells me. Oh, no, you're actually performing the ceremony. You know, the whole, would you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? I've been to a lot of weddings. I've never been so nervous in my life. I'm standing up there in front of the families are both miserable about the fact that they're not getting their ceremony. And they're looking at me going, who's this dick? I'm not a priest. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not an imam. I can't even remember. What did I say?
Something to the effect of, hi, I'm DJ Fresh.
That didn't go down well either. Only about three people laughed. Luckily, it was the bride and the groom. Yeah. Anyway, so I married you two.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't worry, in case there are any people listening now who are going to try and break your legitimate marriage apart, you did have lawyers to take care of
you. Yeah, marriage officer, right, and all the rest of it.
Correct. So let nobody say that you and your wife are not married. Both doctors.
Yeah.
Both very smart people. Are you two trying for children?
Absolutely not.
You don't want children?
No.
But smart people like you should have children. Have you not watched that brilliant movie called Idiocracy?
Yeah, I did a long time ago.
It starts off, it's one of my favorite movies. Idiocracy starts off with this picture of this really smart couple. He's got X number of university degrees. She's really smart. They're very nice people. And they say, look, we're going to hold off. We want to get our careers going before we have kids. And then they zoom ahead 20 years and they're looking older now and she's no longer fertile and they've tried this and they've tried that, but then they decide they're not really going to have the kids after all. Then they zoom forward another couple of years, one of them is dead and they're no kids. Then they show the guy who played college football and had a lot of head injuries from smashing his head into other players, and he's pretty wild and he's always pouring beer into orifices and that kind of thing. And he's married to the high school cheerleader who's really dim but very attractive with big tits. And they have 20 kids.
Yeah.
Well, and they show the future.
You can't outbreed them.
You can't. And they show the future of humanity. And smart people are just completely being talked out of the equation.
Yeah. Kids are not very appealing.
You don't want kids.
I'm not a huge fan of them. No, I don't particularly want kids. If my wife does, we'll have kids and I'll go be a good dad and all the rest of it, but
I was talking to an ex-girlfriend this weekend and she said she's getting her eggs frozen because you know, you don't want to be too old, otherwise there's all kinds of complications with the children.
Mm.
Now would you do that?
Yeah, we're not there yet. I mean, I suppose if you get to a point where you're like, oh, we're not sure, but you should make a decision at some point.
You're no spring chicken, Dr. Jonathan Whitney.
No, but I can go for a long time. Don't worry. I mean, men, we don't have to worry. That's
isn't
the
there a chance when men
I mean,
also...
You know, men and women are equal, but actually we're not, and our biology is different.
Well, we'll get to how you called feminism, your show called Feminism Cancer. Mm. You had a guest who had that opinion too. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, that's ours as well.
Right. Now, what is your background, Ramon?
My background. So yeah. I was born in France. I arrived here at the age of 3.
Did you speak French?
I still do at home.
Do people laugh and point?
Were you smoking at 3?
That's what you do. The French breakfast is coffee and a cigarette. For children, it's a bottle of milk and... Secondhand smoke.
Secondhand smoke for children. That's what they get by on in France. That's why everybody's thin. All right. So you were born in France. You came here at age 3.
Indeed.
What did you come out here to do? Did your dad have a job?
Steal land from
black people. Indeed. Is that what you did?
Indeed. No, my dad was an economic refugee. That's what I like to call it. Because we had a socialist government at the time who were really not doing well. So my dad said, well, let's go to Africa.
Have your family, the Kabana, have they always been against socialism? Have they always found themselves on the wrong side of the proletariat?
As far as I know, yes. Okay. So, I mean, if you go back to family history, my parents were born in Morocco and my grandparents were born in Algeria while they were still colonies.
So you're actually a black man?
Arab, black. People say I have white privilege, but like I'm half Arab.
Is he a black man? See, look at him now.
No, I don't think he has that Andrew Leviness going.
He identifies as black. Come on.
Do you identify as being Arab?
Arab and in a wheelchair. Absolutely. SBE points somewhere.
You identify as being in a wheelchair even though you're not.
Well, of course.
And who are we to argue?
It's a social construct. I can make up my own.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So this is interesting. There's a bit of North African heritage there.
Right.
Right. Quite a lot of that. And you came here to South Africa. Obviously, you were too young to know what the hell was going on, 3 years old. But you're pretty much a South African.
Oh, yes. Very well integrated, I think.
Yeah.
People see me as South African. So okay. I suppose that's the metric.
You have a law degree, but you're one of those subsistence lawyers. It seems to me you never work. How do you get this right? He's always inviting everyone for lunches and dinners, and he's sitting around smoking his vape pen. Doesn't do much for a living.
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't write my exams and do all that nonsense because I'm a terrible employee. I don't listen to people in authority whatsoever. So I try to do articles for a year or two, resign from both places, mm-hmm. and so now I just work by myself.
What do you do?
At home, I administer deceased estates.
Oh, okay.
And do wills and trusts and those sort of things.
So some of the more administrative stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
No, court is hell. I mean, you've been there. It's horrible.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, you do not want to go there, if you are a lawyer.
It's funny how you got there.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. Because actually, you had quite a lot to do with that. I retweeted a poll from you.
Indeed.
Which caused all the trouble. And as an attachment to that poll, I said people don't really understand freedom of speech.
And hence this huge... And
hence
right.
Everything that happened after that. So I blame you.
Well,
so I should have attached you as a party to the case.
I would have loved to be there. I would have gotten my, head in the papers. But you proved your point, though.
Yeah.
People don't understand freedom of speech.
If anything came out of it, that's exactly the truth.
Exactly. And the court agreed with you, so.
All right. Now, there's a story about, because people say you have a funny voice, and you actually damaged your vocal cords,
yes.
Right? Tell me what happened.
So I grew up in the South. On a farm.
So you had to fight for survival.
Until I was 14. Yeah, every day. And guinea fowl, put them on the pot. With horses and bows.
And you French people will eat anything. Yes?
Yes, mostly. So we used to burn our rubbish, our refuse.
You had a rubbish heap and you would set it on fire and burn all the stuff.
Well, you put it in drums and you pour a bit of spirits and you light it up. So one day we were doing that, and then I was standing behind my father, about 5 meters, and he poured a bit, the flame was lit, everything was lit, mm-hmm. He poured a bit of spirit in there, mm-hmm. and the flame shot up into the bottle and exploded.
Oh my
behind
God.
Him. But I was at least 5 meters away,
yeah.
But it was just a huge fireball engulfed me from the waist up.
How old were you?
I was 13.
13, and your dad set you on fire?
Inadvertently, but
no,
yes.
No, I mean, but that's what happened. I mean, Jonathan, this is the worst kind of parenting.
Yeah, social services would definitely be involved.
I mean, this, but listen, you did get pretty badly burnt, dude.
Oh, well, I was pronounced dead twice.
Pronounced dead?
Yeah. The burn's not the issue, it's inside. It's the smoke inhalation that closes off your, what's it called, Jonathan? Your windpipe.
Your larynx.
Yeah, your larynx. So I was pronounced dead twice. They had to resuscitate me twice. 2 months in ICU.
My God.
Yeah, 9 months of school. No, it was a serious thing.
Wow, man. I mean, you're lucky to have survived.
Did your family then move to recycling after that? I mean, is there at least a...
Cold-hearted Ben.
No, hang on a second. This is there's got to be some psychological impact this must have, because are you terrified of fire?
That's what everyone said. I mean, I didn't go for counseling after the fact. I needed a bit of speech therapy to get my voice back. But nothing. I mean, I still go on countryside weekends, make a fire myself.
Imagine.
I've got nothing.
Imagine the fear when you light that fire. I mean, I would just be, I'd start peeing a little. No?
Well, no. Not to me. Not to me. I mean, you know, it's a freak accident, once in a lifetime thing. So
it's an interesting theory on PTSD, though. Just quickly, medical.
Yes, sure.
But if you can make the person forget the experience early on after the experience, then they don't experience PTSD or nearly as bad.
Okay. Well, for someone like me, that's easy to do. I take negative experiences and I forget about them. I genuinely can't remember them, and then I move on. So Some people would say it means that you have a problem. I think it's a solution.
Other people, you just drag the hell out of them and then they forget the experience.
Right.
Yeah, but I admit, I had no issues.
But that must have been traumatic as all hell. I mean, you said you almost died twice.
Right. Well, it was, but what must I do?
I mean, did your dad apologize at least?
Well, he was more traumatized than me, at the end of the day. Yeah. I was in, you know, sedated for 2 months, so I don't really remember that period of time.
Wow. That's pretty terrifying. That's a hell of a start.
So now stop mocking his voice, you assholes.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a story. Yeah.
I'm not a German transvestite.
Yes, the seer of all people. I mean, someone who calls himself sensitive.
What?
And he said you sounded like a German transvestite.
Absolutely.
And
the yeah. But Roman, that's because you said I didn't have a deep voice.
Now he's
so
mocking
you.
Listen, he's mocking you.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, because like
you
how pretty
with three buttons undone. I mean, this is the worst kind.
A heavage. No, but the worst part is I'm not even German.
All right. In fact, you French people hate the Germans, with good reason.
Yeah, we keep underestimating them.
They roll over your border and you fall down like sheep.
3 times in history, and we're still underestimating Merkel now. Fucking hell.
All right, now let's talk about this show, because you know, we've gone into enough of this. Basically, but you're also married to a doctor.
So I am, yes.
There's another doctor involved in this.
Right.
Mm. Both of you have doctors for wives. Are you really in charge of your lives if you have a wife who's also a doctor?
Absolutely not. What are you talking about?
Okay, Roman, it's clear that you don't.
I don't know. I think I am. But then again, you have to see your wife every now and again to know. So it's difficult to tell. You know?
You two work too hard. You don't see each other.
When I go on, she comes off and so on and so forth. So we see each other every few weeks.
Basically, sex by proxy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know who the proxy is, but...
you better hope it's someone you like.
I hope he's a nice guy.
All right. Now let's talk about the show. What brought you together? You started agreeing about certain things on Twitter. I mean, you find like-minded people. Right. I remember when I first saw your tweets, you were very outspoken and irritating. And I thought you were a dick, and I think I might even have blocked you for a while. It was in the years where I still blocked people.
I think you did block me originally. Mm. Was I ever a dick, though, or would I just ask questions?
You were probably... very legitimate. I might have been having a bad day. It happens.
I mean, I do come across as a dick on Twitter.
It needs to be said, though, he's blocked by many people.
Yeah, right. Tell us who's blocked you. Famous people who have blocked you because you're annoying them on Twitter.
We only have half an hour. Do you really want
give
to
give me one or two famous names?
Every single major political party a member of theirs has blocked me. So, Andile, okay, not some.
Ntama.
Yeah.
All right.
Him, Helen Ziller.
Yes.
Eusebius Makaiser, Yusuf Abramji. Who else has blocked?
Has Kaya blocked?
Has Fikile Mbalula blocked?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But that only takes one tweet.
But that's not even hard.
The only person I know who has not been blocked by Fikile is Ben.
Yeah, he still follows
really?
Me.
He follows you as well.
Mm-hmm. Somehow.
So, yeah, a lot of people have blocked me, but merely for asking questions, because there's a lot of stupid opinions, and people just don't want to be challenged.
Mm-hmm. And you do ask uncomfortable questions. So who made the entree to the other one that we should do a show together out of you two?
Well, I sent a DM to Jonathan Wirtz, and he says, I was just about to ask you that same question. So
well, that sometimes happens.
Apparently together.
Okay.
But you can take the credit. It's fine.
Now, when it comes to putting the show together, how does it work?
So I work mostly on guests, mm-hmm. and Jonathan works on studio time and... What else do you work on? Oh, voice.
All the admin, his best John Robbie impressions.
Okay.
Radio voice.
All right. Now, the idea here on this show is it's an antidote to everything else in the media.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is, and I think where we find commonality is the insanity that has become really Twitter and a lot of the sort of public debate and discourse, which is so ridiculous, politically correct. And sort of falling over itself not to offend anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a show that basically says that's bullshit. You don't have a right not to be offended. I know you're a fan of that mm-hmm. concept. Or if you get offended, so what? And we're going to discuss topics. We're going to be honest about it. We're going to be open about it.
And you guys go political. You talk about social stuff. You talk about religious stuff. You go anywhere.
Yeah. Anything that we can think of where we have a strong opinion. I must admit, it's informed opinions, though. I mean, we both read a lot, listen to a lot of podcasts. So economics, mostly politics.
And you don't mind attacking things like, for example, one of your guests recently called Steve Biko a racist.
Right.
You've had someone say that feminism is cancer.
Yeah, indeed. We were talking about third wave feminism. I mean, you know...
What is third wave feminism?
So essentially, three waves of feminism. You know, your sort of first wave was your sort of suffragette movement, get the vote type of thing that happened. Your second wave is sort of your 60s, 70s, burning the bra and, you know, equal rights
glass
for women.
Ceilings and,
yeah. Yeah, and women in the workplace, et cetera, et cetera. And essentially, if you live in the West in the year 2000 and you're a woman, you're equal. There are very few areas in which you are limited or not treated completely the same as a man. And so third wave feminism comes about where you've got these people in 2016 who are saying, no, it's, you know, they're manufacturing things. Firstly, the wage gap in America, which is essentially a manufactured fact. Well, it's false, but yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they're making up all these persecutions against women, mm-hmm. which are so minute or really don't exist. And that's third wave feminism. It's this, you know, these people with dyed armpit hair, you know, running around campuses telling people, you know, how oppressed they are by the patriarchy.
People with dyed armpit hair.
Yeah, but a better way to describe it is it's basically Marxism with panties. That's all it is. It's people who've been coddled their whole life. I mean, this general social justice, you know, family. It's people who are coddled their whole life, who don't understand, you know, what to be deprived actually means, and they just look to manufacture outrage because they lack self-esteem.
I mean, the reality is that you're backwards if you're not a feminist. In other words, if you don't think your colleague who's female is equal to you, you're an idiot. If you don't think your colleague who's female who does the same job as you should get paid the same as you, you're an idiot.
Right.
And
so we don't need another movement.
Feminism won. It won. It worked. It's finished. And what we should have done was gone, cool, it's done, it's finished.
What's
the
next
issue?
Right.
So if you want to carry on with feminism, well, then take it to the places where there is no feminism.
All right, but
like
this is all
Middle
good
East.
And well. This is great. In an ideal world, you two are white males. You deserve an opinion, but it's not an ideal world. And as white males, a lot of people would say you should shut up.
Yeah, and they're wrong, so fuck them.
And
who cares?
And not only that, what if we don't identify as white males?
You do, right?
No, but I mean,
let's just check for the benefit of all those people who are concerned, because we all tend to be a something, but then we are identifying as something else. So are we identifying as straight white males? This is a very, very dangerous place to be, because as a straight white male,
yeah,
you really shouldn't have an opinion.
So I don't.
You people are responsible for all the trouble on earth.
Absolutely. We've caused all issues, but the reality is...
We fund ISIS directly.
Yeah.
I don't identify as white, for example. That doesn't mean anything to me. Has no, you know, I get forced to identify as white sometimes. For example, when I apply for a job and I have to sort of tick the white box, you know.
But you don't sit at home and think about how great it is to be white or how bad it is to be white.
No, that's called white supremacy.
Okay,
and it's the same problem with Black Lives Matter.
Okay,
that's black supremacy. Anything that takes one race over another and says we're better or we deserve more or anything like that is bullshit.
No, but as soon as you identify a group of people according to certain standards, it's collectivism. It's misunderstanding.
Now, why is collectivism bad?
Why is it bad?
Mm.
Well, because people are individuals who make individual choices and have individual thoughts and ambitions and goals.
And collectivism reduces them to...
Well, absolutely. Collectivism is the, you know, what the whole policy of apartheid was about, right? You're white, so you must do this. You put a pencil on your head. If it stays, you must go live over there. If it doesn't, you can live wherever you want. Collectivism is just pure evil. It's giving characteristics to you, which are stereotypical characteristics given to the entire group of people with whom they identify you as.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an evil system. It's very... So based on that fact, you can see where racism comes about or sexism comes about. If, for example, Gareth, I don't like you, I'm not going to say, oh, all male South Africans are souls like Gareth, right? No, Gareth's
a problem.
Gareth's a problem by himself. I don't need to, you know, bring in whoever else, Ben, into the equation.
Well, you could. He's also a terrible human being. All right, but now let's look at some of the things you guys get into. We've discussed feminism. You don't like unions.
Myself?
Yeah.
I don't mind unions, but not politically connected ones. I mean, if you go to a private union, something like Solidarity, it's a brilliant union because they actually know economics. And they don't, you know, depend on the public purse to survive.
Is there an element of intellectual superiority or a complex of intellectual superiority that goes on with people who have opinions like yours, and occasionally it's got to be said like mine, which counts you out of the equation too, where you sound like you're a know-it-all and you have a privilege attached to the way that you grew up that means you're actually not allowed to be part of the discussion?
Well, that's why people block me on Twitter, right? But
do they have a point?
Not in the slightest. If you have to discuss ideas, you discuss the idea, right? If Eusebius calls Chris Hart a right-wing idiot, you're allowed to say, but Eusebius, Chris Hart is not right-wing, nor an idiot, and that's an ad hominem. For a world debating champion, you should know better. That's not trolling. That's just putting the ideas forward and saying, Eusebius, you might be wrong. And if he blocks you for that, who's the idiot then?
Well let's get ad hominem. Who do you have problems with? I mean, because you guys don't hold back. You don't mind getting down and dirty. It's usually about ideas.
Right.
But we're humans. We can't help ourselves. And you say to someone, wah, well, you said something that makes me upset, so you're fat, or whatever it might be. And then, you know, it's childish. We all get there. Do you guys allow yourselves to get childish, or do you try and keep it in the realm of ideas?
No, we do sometimes get a little bit childish, I think.
It depends who it is.
You know, I mean, he's mentioned Eusebius. I mean, we have massive issues with Eusebius and where he stands on things. I mean, my biggest issues are with people when they're disingenuous because they're not really representing, you know, what their motives and intentions are when they have agendas. And I think there's lots of these people in the social media sort of space who have these types of agendas. So, you know, Eusebius is one of them. I'm not a big fan of Kaya Tlanga. I think he's basically just waiting for a post in government. There's a couple.
No, but it's basically people who lie to advance their ideas because they got a book to sell.
They lie.
Well, they lie about what you say, right, Gareth? Mm. Your tweets. They lie about what Chris Hart said. So they say, oh, Chris Hart means this. No, he said people are getting entitled, which is the same thing Nelson Mandela said, which is the same thing Thabo Mbeki said, which is the same thing Jacob Zuma said.
In a series of 20 tweets in which he lamented how people are being made poor and how the economy is not working for the average South African.
That one tweet was pulled out and
right,
and misrepresented.
So it's a complete fabrication of what he said.
And now, then, Chris Hart was one of your guests.
Indeed.
Right.
Right.
How's he doing? I mean, because he was very depressed after that whole thing happened.
Well, he has
lost his job.
Yeah, he has resigned. I think he's I think he will come back in a way that we won't expect. I think he will... He seemed fine when we interviewed him, at least.
Yeah, I think he's doing okay. Look, it's a tough thing to go through. You've been through, you know, when the whole of Twitter turns against you, and if you... When that's happening, if you search that person's name on Twitter, the sort of vitriol is tough to deal with. It doesn't matter how thick
your
skin is.
Have you had to put up with that?
No, and this is the interesting... Well, sometimes, I mean, but few and far between. You know, one person here or there who will say something. That's okay. It's easy to deal with that. 100,000 tweets is a little bit more difficult. But this is the whole point of what happens on Twitter and anywhere else, Facebook, with the Outrage Brigade, which is that they don't go for anyone who isn't a high-value target.
Mm.
So I have said way worse things on Twitter than, you know, people just don't understand freedom of speech. Roman takes it to another level. And they don't go after us because they... How
there's
can
no
they?
Sweet victory.
There's nothing. There's nothing. They're not going to destroy our radio station, and they're not going to make us lose our jobs. And they've openly said this. You know, the sort of one of our guests coming calls them the trendy lefties, because they've openly said that their goal is to make people lose their jobs. There's a new website that they're launching in the US, which is essentially if someone insults you online and you don't like them, you post that person's information, as much of it as you can find. The website will then help populate more information about that person, including their job, so that future employers and their current employer can see the horrible things they've been saying on social media, the only purpose of which is to get them fired.
Yeah, that's another thing we talk about quite a lot, is getting persecuted for your thoughts, right? So say Steve Hoffmeyer, never met him, he has some controversial things to say. Why try and make him lose gigs? Why... Who cares what he says? They're just ideas in his head. He hasn't murdered anyone.
So you don't believe, like, for example, have this is a thing that bothers me quite a lot. There's no such thing as a thought crime.
No.
Absolutely not. Right. Absolutely not. I mean, I would defend pedophiles if it's just a thought.
Sure. As long as I haven't done it.
As long as you don't act, there's nothing wrong with being a pedophile.
In fact, in order to have a crime, you have to have an act.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the problems is that we don't, so we see things as thought crimes and we go after them, which doesn't solve the problem. You know, back to the Penny Sparrow issue is, how did we solve that problem? Well, we threatened to murder her and her family to the point that the woman goes into hiding. I can, and I've said this on the show repeatedly, I can guarantee you she's no less racist than she was, if not more racist now. That doesn't help solve the problem. And
if the problem is racism, which we know in this case it wasn't.
Yeah. So what Roman talks about pedophilia as an example, we're trying to find a guest for this in future, but the whole concept is everyone agrees that it's wrong and everyone's disgusted by it. Well, most people, except pedophiles, sure. I would imagine.
Well, most pedophiles as well. They're disgusted by what they think, right?
But if you can stop them at the thinking phase, the problem is then no pedophile is going to come to you and go, listen, I really think about kids, but I don't want to hurt a child. Help me. No one's going to say that to you because the minute they do that, it's over.
Right.
Their life is over. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a lot of really interesting discussion going on. And this is why I like what you guys are doing. And it's such a different show to everything else. Because there's no political correctness in what you do. I mean, where other people will touch things, it's much easier to be on the lunatic left side of an argument and still get representation in local media.
Mm.
Right?
Well, it's popular to be... I see the left and right are very difficult. It's not as simple as... For example, the States is very simple, what's left, what's right. Europe as well, you know, their right is essentially neo-Nazi and their left is, well, insane socialists.
Yeah.
But it's more difficult in South Africa where all these sort of boundaries are.
But we don't, sorry to butt in, we don't identify as left or right. The future is going to be determined between freedom and non-freedom. So people who want to cut down on what we say, what we do, who we interact with, what we say on social media. We don't care what you say or what you do. If you're an arsehole, you're an arsehole.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Call it what it is.
And it's fine to be an arsehole, believe it or not.
Well, you don't mind being called that.
Oh, no. Right? I've been called worse.
Right, of course. Now, look, how many people do you want to, you know, eventually build into this army of yours? Because it seems like it's growing pretty fast. The show's very popular. What kinds of topics are we going to get into? What sort of controversy are we going to open up here?
Well, I mean, you can look at the stuff we've discussed already. We've had our opening episode which topic-wise was very interesting, but from our side as hosts, we were probably the weakest at that point because we were just starting. But Roads Must Fall, and we talked about them as fascists. And subsequent to that podcast, they only continue to prove that we're 100% right,
mm-hmm.
burning down buildings and threatening people, rapes and sexual assaults. Chris Hart, who we had on, who gave an excellent discussion on economics. We've discussed libertarianism, and we've also discussed...
we discussed freedom of speech.
Liberals, freedom of speech.
Now, you believe, Roman, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you believe that less government would be a good thing.
Well, no government would be a good thing.
Yeah, he believes no government. I believe less government.
But people are animals. You have to have government.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing, right? So in the Roman Empire... Mm-hmm. The Justinian Code of Laws was mm-hmm. promulgated in 400 AD, mm-hmm. around about there. So before then, did people just stop killing and raping just as they were promulgated?
No, but this is my argument against why the Ten Commandments aren't anything special. Because no, long before those tablets were handed to Jonathan's people at the foot of Mount Sinai, they were still behaving like good people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made it across the Red Sea.
Because structures are made from top down, or they're emergent. Right, so the emergent structures happened over thousands of years. People know what worked, what didn't.
So are you cynical about everything except human nature?
Oh, no, I think most people are selfish morons, myself included. But structures do emerge. Spontaneous order is a thing that does exist in nature and in societies. The fact that the parliament says a law is a law doesn't make it ethically or morally right. It's just legal, right? Slavery was legal. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean the law is an arbiter of moral, morality, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I agree. I wouldn't go as far as Ramon. I think that I've taken a very libertarian view, although not completely, but essentially, which says, you know, the government should be in charge of sort of protecting things like borders, you know, the police and running the justice system. Most other things can be handled by the private sector and
concerned
people
individuals.
In general. Exactly. The rest is, it doesn't need, we don't need to do it. The truth be told, though, is we're not going to get there in a very long time because of how the systems are all set up. So I would like to just de-escalate government even just a little bit.
Mm. But that never happens, though. The United States had the smallest government the world has ever known, and now it's the biggest empire the world has ever known.
Right.
Governments only grow. They never shrink.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens in the US.
Well, only by revolution.
Now they're going to destroy their political system.
Yeah, they will, with whoever gets elected now. What we've covered that. Have you two ever revealed who you vote for?
I don't vote.
You don't vote at all? You don't take part in elections? You don't believe in democracy?
No, I don't like voting for slave masters.
Okay, and all of them are?
Oh, absolutely.
You hate all political parties equally?
Mostly. I hate some more than others.
Okay, so they're not equally, but you hate them all.
Yes.
Jonathan, you?
Yeah, I will probably vote for the DA in the next election. I did in the last.
Socialist.
I accept that political parties are not ever going to fit my view of the world perfectly. And this is the problem when people vote, is they try to find a political party that suits them absolutely down to the T. It's never going to happen. So there's lots of things the DA does that irritate me and are wrong, in my opinion. But overall, if I'm going to choose someone to be, as Ramon says, my slave master, I'd rather pick them. And at the moment, it's for the simple reason that shit in South Africa doesn't work. Just normal shit that should work, you know, like electricity to my house and picking up my garbage. And as far as I'm concerned, the DA has shown that they're most likely party to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, I wouldn't want them in for too long because they're also the most likely party to bring in kind of laws that are going to tell me exactly what to do with every minute of my time.
Straight after Penny Sparrow, they couldn't wait to curb freedom of speech.
Yeah.
They couldn't wait. They're at the front of the queue saying this could be criminalized.
But I'm a big fan of democracy, which we don't yet have. And that's the democracy. To have the democracy, we have to have change of power. So I would like to see a system in South Africa ultimately that sees whoever it is, be it the DA, the ANC, the EFF, and I wouldn't really like to see the EFF in power, but whoever it is, come in for 5 to 10 years at a time and then go on their merry way. And then someone else comes in for 5 to 10 years because...
And then they outperform each other.
Look,
so
I think
they can
that,
keep
I
doing.
Think there are many clever people in the ANC and I don't think that they're all... It's a terrible party. The reality is that they've been comfortable for 25 years or 20 whatever, 2 years, and they,
let's use Tuli Madonsela's word, secure and comfort.
Yeah, and so what that's caused is that's caused them to believe that they literally will be there till Jesus comes.
Yeah, they even say
so the problem is if you just get the ANC out for one election cycle, 5 years, I guarantee you, if they get voted back in after another 5 years,
they'll be that much better.
They will come back in and go, oh shit, we can actually lose this job. We can actually lose these fancy cars and houses. And that's the truth. Politicians are never going to be, they're not your friends, and they're not really there to serve you. They're there first to serve themselves. But you can at least try and make the system work a little bit better for you.
Make them accountable.
Don't do that.
Now we've handled politics. How about economics? Where are we on the scale? Free market capitalists, both of you?
Free market fundamentalist.
Fundamentalist?
Yeah, the market works without any government. What is the market? Voluntary trade between people.
But what about a little bit of regulation?
Like what?
Like the fact that our banking sector was regulated enough to survive the 2008 finance crisis.
The banking sector in the US was the most regulated on earth. Who caused the financial crisis?
We managed to weather that storm a lot better than most because we had some regulation.
Well, there were apartheid protectionisms there.
Okay, maybe that's it. So that should fall away. And if the market takes you up, great. And if it takes you down, too bad.
But those only work because the government controls the supply of money.
Okay,
the central banks.
Total supply and demand.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm not knowledgeable to say completely enough to say completely okay. Total supply and demand, just on economics and sort of social structures. I believe in a bit of a social net in terms of, as far as government's concerned, which
I don't think you do.
Well, I think the market can provide that much better than the government.
Market doesn't care about poor people.
Oh, really? So what? So how did poor people get ahead before that? What is the role of the church in America? It was charity. That's why churches are not taxed, because people donate, and those churches were the centers of charity
okay.
in that city or in that town or in that state.
What about, do you bring up churches, what about religion?
Atheist, not, and I used to be a bit more anti-theist, but now I sort of respect people who believe, because I've read a lot of evolutionary philosophy of moral reasoning lately, and religion does make sense.
Who have you
been
reading, Rousseau?
No, Jonathan Haidt.
Okay.
He's a contemporary. He wrote a book called The Moral Compass. I mean, The Righteous Mind. He talks about how people make ideas and why they believe certain things. It's based on intuition more than anything else. So I'm atheist, but don't mock people for believing something unless they tell me that I go to hell. Then you
can mock them.
And then it's fine. I'd rather go to hell, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I'm mock them all you like. Let people believe what they want. But religion really needs to stay out of just in general controlling other people's lives. So you can do whatever the fuck you like in your own bedroom, house, property, etc. To an extent, because beating your wife is okay according to the Bible, and it's not okay.
The non-aggression principle. Do what you want as long as you don't harm others.
But I think, for example, I mean, you played it earlier, Jacob Zuma speaking to a whole bunch of church leaders, and you know, that shit needs to end.
But I want to talk about that as well, to be honest. Here's a man, well, not him himself, but these people, some in the ANC, some in, if they want to decolonize, you know, South Africa, but yes, they love that European Jesus, huh?
It's a strange sort of uneasy relationship that I think deserves a bit of probing.
Well, the left is full of cognitive dissonance. It's just all over the place, you know, having one idea and then having another which completely clash, but not ever picking that up.
Well, gentlemen, there's going to be lots of interesting and furious debate and discussion. I still think it would be really, really funny once a month to just put you and Andrew and Rory into the same studio and see what happens.
Well, actually, going on the downloads, we wanted to go on their show, but it looks like they need a bit of publicity so they could come on ours anytime.
The Renegade Report is a podcast. You can find it on cliffcentral.com along with all the others. And you can also subscribe to it, as you may, with many of our podcasts on iTunes. You can find out everything you need to know by going to cliffcentral.com. We've got a great lineup of stuff for you today. That's Roman and Jonathan. They are the hosts of The Renegade Report. Take a listen to it. I think you might like it. There's nothing else like it on the lineup. There's nothing else like it in South African radio. There isn't, right? Have you done the research?
There really isn't.
There really isn't.
There really isn't.
All right. Maybe there's a reason for that, but we'll try and break new ground. Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Gareth.
Let's wrap it up for this morning. The ANC manifesto launch took place this weekend in front of literally tens of people in Port Elizabeth. With Bay World in major trouble and the Kings being terrible in Super Rugby, the ANC thought that they could certainly rustle up a crowd of neglected people in the Windy City. Sadly, Jacob Zuma's security detail eclipsed the audience numbers-wise, so only a handful of people ended up hearing the lies and promises of the anticipated manifesto. Musi Maimane called Jacob Zuma a tsotsi over the weekend. Lead actor in the Oscar-winning movie Tsotsi, Prezi Chenwechai, was outraged at this, saying Musi Maimane had no right in painting tsotsis with a Zuma brush, and that the DA has most likely lost the discerning tsotsi vote now at the polls. Finally, Alistair Kutsia has woken up to a text message from Pikile Mbalula. Minister Razmataz wants to know how many black players he would pick for the Springboks after the last round of Super Rugby. He then reminded Kutsia that he wants him to pick so many black players for the Springboks that he actually becomes tired of picking black players. All right, we will see you tomorrow. Have an excellent Monday. CliffCentral.com.